This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Toby in for GP live at City Tap House in Penn. Quarter will be here until show close. Come on by, order some delicious foodstuffs before the Capitals game. Pivotal game two. We'll talk about that in the Beltway Blitz in a moment. But first, a little business to tend to. I want to send you to the Defenders game. Caller 9 at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You want a four-pack of tickets to DC Defenders versus Arlington Sunday, May 18th at Audi Field. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Happy dialing and good luck to you. We begin the Beltway Blitz on the ice. Mike Vogel joins us, WashingtonCaps.com. Vogues, work cut out for him after losing game one. How do they make a different outcome here in game two?
Yeah, that's, I think Tom Wilson said it right after the game the other night. The next game is the most important one of the series. I think they know it's going to be hard enough to win one game in Carolina, let alone two. So they really need this one tonight just to go down there all even instead of down a pair. I think it starts in their own end of the ice. They've got to get cleaner breakouts, crisper movement northward out of their own zone. And they've got to find a way to stress the Carolina defense, not necessarily to the degree that it was done to them in game one on Tuesday, but they've got to take a little bit of a bite out of them. They know how Carolina likes to play, wants to play. The Canes have been playing this game, the same style, for all seven seasons of Rod Brindamore's tenure. So they're well-versed. They're well-steeped in how to play. And the Caps are going to have to get to their game more than they did, a lot more than they did in game one. Got to cut those shot attempts. You know that they're gonna wind up at the end of the game with more shot attempts than you are. That's going to happen every night, pretty much every night that they play. That's the way it's been for 7 years. But 94 is probably 20 or 30 too many. Got to keep that number down to a manageable amount and make sure that your own time in the offensive zone is productive as well.
How would you make a Logan Thompson in game one? I thought he was really, really impressive. How do you think that the defense can help him out as well to take some of the pressure off of him in game two?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job of that. I mean, I thought that they defended incredibly well. The fact that there were 94 shot attempts and only two of them went in, and the second one was the 94th one, that's kind of crazy. I mean, you look at a 2-1 overtime loss in the playoffs, if you're just looking at the result, you're like, wow, that's a close game. That could have gone either way. And, yeah, it could have, but, you know, they never really had the puck in overtime, and they never really had the puck during the game either. So it was as lopsided of a 2-1 overtime loss as you'll see. So I think they actually combined to block a couple more shots than Thompson made saves. So I thought they did their job in front of him. They let him see – pretty much everything. He was fantastic. But I thought they defended really well in front of him as well. The problem was they spent way too much time defending in front of him. That's what's got to change. You've just got to shift the area of action in a northerly direction, two zones north, for at least a bigger chunk of the time. The possession time and the offensive zone time was far too lopsided in Carolina's favor in game one. That's the thing that has to shift fairly dramatically, I would say. And then, you know, like I said earlier, they've got to have some positive results and hold on to puck and stress the Carolina defense in ways that was done to them in game one.
Vogues, thank you as always, my friend. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
You got it, man. Hit that national sounder, please. Our pal Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, joins us to talk about the Nationals. That's how we do it here on the Beltway Blitz. Mark, a couple of wild affairs in that three-game, 24-hour series against the Cleveland Guardians. Biggest takeaway for me was the bullpen. Second biggest takeaway was how these guys keep battling even with said bullpen.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, guys. I feel like we're seeing the same formula play out maybe a majority of the games at this point, where you get some really good starting pitching, and then the bullpen has an implosion, and then the boys paddle back, and they maybe pull it off, and they maybe come up just short. And it's entertaining, I guess, in one sense. It's agonizing in another sense. It leaves you feeling like this is certainly a good enough team to be winning more games than they lose. And it just boils down to, can they either get just enough from the bullpen, or can they get just enough offensively to overcome the bullpen? I don't know how sustainable that formula is, but this is what they're playing right now. Made for some wild games.
And it doesn't look like it's going to change, does it, Mark? Because there's not people. I saw that Andrew Golden had tweeted that the Rochester bullpen ERA is over 7, so it's not as if they're going to get help in AAA. Like, is this kind of what they've got? Do you see any moves coming that maybe they could bolster it somehow with a veteran or anything? Or is this kind of just going to be the ups and downs all year?
Well, yeah, I think that's the most frustrating part of it, is that there really isn't a lot, if anything, for them to do. There's nobody at AAA right now that you say, okay, yes, that guy is a better option, either because of experience or current performance or anything like that. Now, they did sign Andrew Chafin, and yesterday wasn't so good, but his first two were good. Hopefully that's an upgrade for them. You know, a sneaky move may be Brad Lohr, who pitched great in the rotation. But now that Michael Soroka is back, he goes back to the bullpen. Could they start using him in some higher leverage spots? I would be interested to see that, because he has been effective. So that could help in some way. Personally, I'd like to see more Jackson Rutledge, more Cole Henry, previous, you know, starter prospects who are now in the bullpen and, frankly, at this point have looked better than the experienced guys. We just haven't really seen them in the big spots yet, how that will go. But that's kind of all they can do at this point. There aren't some dramatic moves. Now, maybe you make it to July and you're hovering around 500. You can look at some trades, but it's too early in the year, I think, to be thinking in those kind of terms. And so they do, for the most part, have to make this work with what they have.
Mark, real quick, I don't want to spend too much time on the bullpen, but you talked about some of the young guys maybe getting more opportunities. What's it going to take to do that? Is that just a Davey thing, or does he not trust them yet? He needs to see a little more track record, or what's it going to take for us to see Cole Henry in a tight eighth-inning game, or see Jackson Rutledge in one of those spots when, like you said, they've looked better than some of these vets?
Right. It's just going to be a leap of faith at some point where it lines up right to give one of them a try and see how it goes. I mean, they have high hopes for these kids, so you don't want to ruin them by throwing them into a spot they're not prepared for and having it go bad. But look at what the alternative is. And, you know, I understand, hey, you want to show faith in Jorge Lopez and Andrew Chafin and some of these guys who do have some kind of track record in the past. So I get that. You're going to need them ultimately in the long run. But, yeah, at some point here soon, I do think you have to give it a shot, see what happens if Cole Henry pitches, say, the seventh inning with a two-run lead, and give him a shot at it. You're never going to know until you find out if he can handle it or not. And I would imagine we're moving closer to that point where we maybe see it.
Mark, it's the nature of the sports fan. We're always looking for the next thing to get excited about. And I think sometimes we overlook what's happening. So here's where I'm going with this. C.J. Abrams is still only 24 years old. He's off to a really good start. I know he missed a little bit of time there with injury, but OPS in the mid-8s, 286, was on base, I think, in six times over the last couple of games and three walks and three hits yesterday. He's doing a lot of good things. K'Bro Ruiz is off to a really good start, kind of a forgotten man after a disastrous year for him last year. Don't look now, but the guys in their mid to early 20s are doing some things for the Nationals.
Yeah, most of the building blocks are performing. Dylan Cruz has obviously been disappointing, so you hope that one turns around. But a lot of them absolutely are doing what you would hope. And let's go back to CJ for a second. Think about in the offseason and going into spring training. I thought that was like the biggest storyline the team had after the way last year ended. And how would he respond to all that? Well, you know what? He's responded as well as you could hope. He's put that issue aside. He's come out and played well. Yeah, he was hurt for about 10 days, but he didn't skip a beat when he came back from that. And he's playing like an all-star shortstop again, like we saw in the first half last season. And if that's who he can be again, oh my God, you combine that with James Wood and everything else they have going on, that makes a huge difference. And he is a true cornerstone for you now as you move forward.
What'd you make of Mike Soroka and his return? I thought he looked good for five innings, struggled a bit in that six, but I think he's going to be a big boost for him.
Well, I thought he looked great. Yeah, those first five innings were way more than I expected enough for start back from the IL. The swing and miss stuff he was getting, he was efficient. And then, yeah, it fell apart in the sixth, unfortunately. And you hope that's just a case of he's still building himself back up to become, a full-time starter again after having the injury. But if that is anything like what we can expect from him, that's a huge addition to their rotation. And I'm curious with him, with Irvin, with Orr, we talked about the bullpen. Does there come a point that Davey says to his starters, okay, I'm going to push you a little further. You're going six, you're going seven to try to avoid using those guys. It's a tricky calculation there, but if the starters are clearly the better option and they look physically up to it, I'm curious to see if that happens here soon.
Mark, you mentioned Dylan Cruz. After we thought we were kind of, I don't say out of the woods, but you thought, okay, now he got off that terrible start. Here's a bit of a turnaround. We're swooning again, even though he had that big hit the other night to help them win the ball game against Cincinnati. He and Jacob Young, two-thirds of your regular everyday outfield, are really scuffling at the dish. I don't really have a great question with that. It's just they're scuffling. It's a huge part of your lineup, both young players that you want to count on, want to be productive for you. Something's got to change there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the question, Danny, is how long do they stick with both guys? At least that's the question I get from a lot of fans. And the answer is they're not doing anything there yet, especially in Cruz's case. Once you've committed to him, you got to stick with that. And you've heard it over the years from Mike Rizzo. You don't bring a top prospect up unless you are convinced that he's going to be here for the long run. The last thing you want to do is to send him down. They're not there yet with Cruz. So I do think you got to give him several more weeks, not another month, to try to figure some things out. But he's got to have better pitch selection at the plate, for one thing. He did, that rope that he hit off the wall the other day in a big spot was a great sign. You just need to see more of that. The good thing with him and the good thing with Jacob Young as well is that they're still playing excellent defense and not letting their offensive struggles affect that. So that's helping keep them in the lineup. I think Young probably faces a little more pressure in the immediate future. Cruz, I think you got to give him, at least till the end of May before you have to make that tough decision. Hopefully by the end of the month, you're seeing more from him to not have to consider that.
Mark, appreciate the time, man.
All right, you got it, guys. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Let's talk a little Commanders. Joining us to talk about those Commanders is Eric Bickle, EB from the Junkies. EB, what's going on?
Hey, guy. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm worried about Cruz. But just so you know.
Oh, we saw that. Oh, we know you're worried about Cruz.
100 of bats in the show, that gavel slams down in Bickle's corner. I know it.
Hey, EB, I wanted to ask you, I know you really wanted a weapon in the draft. Now that you've had a little bit of time to step away from the draft and kind of reflect on what they did, were you happy with how they went about the draft?
I was happy from the jump. And, I think I said this to you guys. I just have a remarkable confidence in this staff. And while the tackle pick surprised me, I wasn't upset by it. It was just like a curveball. The Amos pick was phenomenal, right? I think everybody had him going in the first round. And I like a couple of their little gadgets. I like the kid Lane from Virginia Tech. I think he's got every chance to be a punt returner for us, right? And a little gadget guy for Cliff, and then maybe he can expand into a role. I mean, can you imagine being the running back, was it from Arizona, Kroski, whatever his name is, who played one game and was still good enough to get drafted? Like, I'm super excited for that kid too. Not to say he's going to do anything big, but hey, you might have somebody you could stash for a year and maybe have something. And then the other one is the undrafted free agent receiver. Can't even remember his name. Is it Ja'Cory? You know what I'm talking about, Grant?
Yeah.
They drafted a receiver who's big, who played at a big time program. And I just, when I saw him, I was like, oh yeah, let's take a flyer on him. Why not?
Yeah, Ja'Cory Brooks, right?
Yeah. I love it. So, and I just trust the staff. The only thing they've screwed up, as far as I'm concerned, and they're allowed to screw up, they're humans, and they're not perfect, is I think we've screwed up on the Lattimore thing. But I don't blame them for the swing. I just think we whiffed.
I actually tend to agree with that. Eric Pickle with us here on G&D. Toby in for Jeeps live at City Tap House, Penn Quarter. There's a list of names that we all recognize right there at edge, right? They're still free agents. Von Miller, Matthew Judon, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Jadeveon Clowney added to that list today. They've kind of made a habit of signing some of these post-hype veterans for not that much money on prove-it deals. Do you expect one of these guys to be a member of the Local 53 here in short order, Eric?
Maybe. Here's the thing. Again, I sound like a homer, and I am a homer in that I root for our teams, but I'm not afraid to criticize them. I just trust the staff. So I don't have my heart set on any one of those guys. But if they tell me, you know what, Dan Quinn just kind of specializes in tricking things up for Frankie Louvu, and he knows how to move the D-tackle around to get matchup advantages, and he'll rush the passer more than you might. I just trust him. It's bizarre. So I'm not hung up on necessarily having a guy with a resume with 15 sacks last year. Be nice. But I do kind of trust this group. And it's really weird for me to say that. But until proven otherwise, like repeatedly, I trust them. I'm like sort of all in drinking the Kool-Aid here.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. And I don't blame you at all. I think you look at the defense.
Am I crazy?
No,
I don't think so. And I'm off of that, not just edge rusher. Do you think they did enough defensively this offseason? Because that was the real big weakness. And they've added some pieces, but they still spent a lot on the offensive side. Do you think they're definitively better on the defensive side?
Well, I think there's a lot of schools of thought to this, right? I think Ben Stanek talks a lot about like improving your defense by getting your offense better, right? There's that school of thought. So I actually think we did that. And then I'm telling you, I watch Adam Peters talk about Kinlaw, who everybody's sort of like making fun of, and I'm all in. I believe Kinlaw is like this untapped potential who's an absolute monster who just hasn't quite figured it all out yet, and that's going to be great. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of like really drinking the Kool-Aid here.
Dude, but it's fun. We deserve it after literally decades of ineptitude. Yeah. They've earned the benefit of the doubt, certainly, here. Is there anything that you do want to see them do coming up here in the kind of the second round of the offseason? This isn't the sexy initial free agent period, right? I mean, where it's that feeding frenzy the first 48 hours or figuring out who's going where, et cetera. It's much more subdued at this time. But is there a signing that you're going, oh, that would be cool if they did that? Or is it just whatever they do is great?
Danny, as I get further and further removed from it, I can't act like I know. I just don't. So I just have so much faith in the staff. And what my biggest question is Jaden, and I have full support of that guy, but what kind of jump is he going to make from year one to year two? And I think he's going to make a jump. I read an awesome article today, I'm sure you guys did too, about how he's kind of like polishing up the areas of concern from last year. He's trying to work on those weaknesses, strengthen that. I just have so much faith in him that I think that he's kind of like the key to everything offensively. And I don't see any reason for him to step backwards. So I know this sounds pathetic. I just don't have like a Za'Darius Smith or some toy on offense that I'm desperate for. I don't know.
EB, yeah, I'm sorry. Hockey match tonight, but don't you dare apologize to us.
It feels good, EB, to finally feel like you can trust the guys over there, right?
It's refreshing, my friend. It's good to see you like this, buddy.
I do. I trust them completely. And I trust Rizzo completely, too. The Cruz, I'm worried about. Worried about Cruz.
Look, you're the guy, dude. I'll have a good show tomorrow morning.
Enjoy. Thanks, EB.
See you, boys.
See you, brother. There he goes. That's Eric Bickle of the Sports Junkies. I got some polling data I want to share with you. So we got a number of people on to talk about the stadium in Washington, D.C., right? We've had council members. The mayor just called us. No big deal. We were just talking, and the mayor called us, as normally happens to radio programs. And one of the criticisms from one of the council members I think gets addressed directly with some really interesting polling data. I'll have that for you in 5 minutes next on The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Gene Dean here on The Fan, City Tap House, Penn Quarter, right before the Caps drop the puck, game number two against the Carolina Hurricanes. Toby is in for Jeeps today. Who's got the strep? He'll be back on to do his goal-scoring draft with us here at around 6 o'clock. We'll do that in about 90 minutes from right now. I have a very serious sports topic we're going to get to in a moment. I want to remind you that this show is exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. They can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We've got some polling data. We're going to get to it. But we just had a bit of an incident here at City Tap Penn Quarter.
We did.
Now, City Tap Penn Quarter is wonderful. They make delicious foodstuffs. So I'm looking at the menu right now for one more thing for myself.
What are we thinking
today? I'm going to try to go the mildly healthy route. I can't have salad because salad is sadness. I'm thinking about we're doing one of the chicken bowls, maybe the tuna poke bowl that they have.
It's
really good. They've got a wide variety of foodstuffs. A lot of genres, all really good. Everything I've had here, I've liked a lot. One of the best things I had here, first time we were here, was the cookie skillet. It is an all-time dessert. The entire hot pan is a giant cookie. There is ice cream on top of it and some sauce on top of it as well. I believe it's a caramel.
Looks awesome.
Or caramel sauce. It does look awesome. It looked so awesome that Ryan and Toby agreed to split one.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened, Tobes?
Yeah, so we agreed that we were going to split a nice margarita pizza. It's fantastic. We split the pizza, three slices each.
Toby
enjoyed
and Ryan
it.
Ryan were going to split it. Yeah.
And then Ryan goes, you know what, Toby? Unfortunately, I'm going to eat this entire cookie skillet myself.
And there it is. Right before it was time to order, the agreement, the plan was in place, okay? The pizza has been split.
Mm-hmm.
The pizza was split. You each had your margarita slices of pizza. By the way, Ryan made a bold declaration there that he said, I prefer cheese pizza to pepperoni pizza.
Yeah,
he just said that casually.
Foolish.
Like, I do.
I know. So does my seven-year-old. And then the second part of the plan, the phase two, if you will, of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, was that you guys were going to split a cookie skillet.
Sure.
And he said, and I quote, I got good news, bad news. They have cookie skillets, but the bad news is I'm going to eat this one by myself.
That is exactly what he said to me.
Ryan, my formal question to you, sir, is what the hell?
So here's my thought process with it.
Okay.
I told Toby on Twitter, I was like, listen, I'm doing you a favor because I want you to get a nice, fresh cookie skillet here. It is so good. I've had this multiple times here. And unfortunately, I got it at like 4:03. You guys were doing the Beltway Blitz.
We were doing the Beltway Blitz. And you weren't doing anything, I guess, right?
I was not. I was just producing, but I also was eating my cookie skillet. Mm. It was supposed to be our cookie skillet, but then I was like, you know what? This is going to be my cookie skillet because I'm going to do myself and Toby a favor. I'm going to eat this thing hot and fresh out of the oven. It's so good. The cookie is amazing. I make cookie snob.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, you can't even touch the skillet. It's that hot. It is fresh out the oven. Mm-hmm. I love this thing.
Now, what I don't like is the pretending that you were thinking of Toby.
I was.
Exactly.
Though. But I was.
No, you were not.
If
yes,
you
I was.
Could just admit that you weren't, and there was no thinking by yourself.
Well, I wanted to eat the whole thing by myself.
Yeah.
And you did.
And I did. I did. I actually hit it right before the 420 segment was over, just because I knew. I was like, listen, Toby's not going to want to bite if it's 421, because at that point, you'll be like, this is... I had to finish that thing as soon as possible, and I did.
I understand.
I got this text from Ryan Clary at 4:09. It said, I hope you know how good this cookie is, Toby.
Yep.
So not only did he do it.
He rubbed it in.
He rubbed it in.
He wafted it. You remember how back in the day, you guys were both young, but Deion Sanders would waft. He called it wafting down Jesus for punt returns when he was about to hit a big punt return. Ryan was wafting the smell of the cookie skillet right at you. Again, that's not someone who's quote thinking of.
Yeah, disrespectful as all get out.
No. I wanted you to understand how good the cookie skillet is and was at that time. You should order one for yourself. You'll enjoy it. You will love it. If you like cookies and you like cookie skillets, you're going to like the cookie skillet.
I feel like I should order a cookie skillet, but out of principle, I might not, just so I can hold it over Ryan's head.
If you can go without it, that's what I would do, is the betrayal. Because you guys had a two-part plan, and he abandoned you midway through the plan to serve his own selfish needs. That's
it's not like he's ever screwed me out on anything before. So
No, never.
What's the other thing?
Never mind. Continue.
No, what is it? Gente? Ryan knows what it is. I don't remember what it is.
I don't know what it is.
Let's just say that I've been left unrequested for 2 months.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Now, to recap that story, is Ryan laughed in the face of this really sweet girl to the point that it was uncomfortable for everyone in the whole section of the restaurant. And he cackled and pointed at her and kept pinching Grant under the table and made it so that that no one could be friends anymore. That's what happened. That's good memory, Tubbs. Thanks for bringing that up. But, Ryan, I can't believe you did that. More on this as it develops. Speaking of developments, we're talking about fixing up the area by RFK. Here is the data point I wanted to share with you guys. All right. This is from your local news outlet, The Washington Post. Most D.C. residents favor using city funds on a new NFL stadium, poll finds. So remember, we had Charles Allen on, council member, and I give him credit. He always comes on. He answers questions, and he's got his viewpoints, and I respect that. Instead of hiding behind, you know, whatever, he is up front, out front, etc. And Grant asked him what I thought was a very good question. There was previous polling that had been done that says, do you want a new stadium in D.C.? And people said yes. Overwhelmingly, I think it was like 70-some percent. Said, yeah, I want it in D.C. And Charles Allen's point to that, his rebuttal, which I thought was a very smart one, was, yeah, you could ask someone, do you want a Lamborghini? Well, sure. Now, do you want to pay for it? Well, that's a different story. So the point was, if you're telling people you're going to get something for free, that's cool. Yeah, we all like that. He even said himself, I'd like to go to a stadium in D.C. That'd be awesome. We have to make a good deal for D.C. Well, here's a data point. I don't want to say that refutes that, but kind of speaks to that. And here's what it is one more time. The majority of D.C. residents favor using city funds on a new stadium. Not just, I'd like a stadium on a binary, yes or no, but they said that, yes, we'd be willing to use public funds. So, again, you always want to go into the nitty-gritty and find out what question was asked and how so. But anyway, here is the data point that here the Washington Post has. Would you favor or oppose the district government using about $850 million in city funds to help finance development for a new football stadium for the Washington Commanders, where the RFK Stadium now stands in D.C.? So even that question, had it gone negatively, I could see someone going, wait, no, that's not worded correctly. That's not worded fairly. You're not spending on the stadium. You're developing around the stadium, a big distinction. I don't want money going to billionaires either. Whatever, right? So the point is, even with that framing, you had a 55% majority of D.C. residents favor using public funds for a stadium. 47% of residents who supported the city funding for the stadium project when asked in 2024, 30% did so in 22. So you see a trend line emerging there. So it's about 39% opposed the idea. And then the people who I don't understand, who are filling out a survey, who are answering questions, who either skip the question or have no opinion. I don't get the no opinion people. That's all.
Why are you doing the survey?
You're taking the time to fill out a survey, and you go, I have an opinion about that. Dude, it's a survey. Don't you? Oh, okay. So that's where we are. Tobes, first blush reaction to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense, though. I would be in favor. You get to benefit from the stadium. And me personally, I don't have as much of an issue as using some of that money to help out. And I think specifically for this plan, I think it does go more so to the development. So I think that, to your point, with what Charles Allen's point was, saying that, you know, maybe the district residents don't, it sounds like a majority do. Now, it's not a overwhelming majority, I wouldn't say. It's not like it's 70%, but a majority do want to spend money to get this stadium back. I think, you know, probably a decent number of those people are fans of the team and want it back at RFK and understand the reasoning of why it should go there. So I think people are going to benefit from it. And I think when you look at the plan that was laid out, it's not as if they're building the stadium. A lot of the money from the team is going towards the stadium, and then a lot of money from DC is going to the stuff around it. And so if I were a resident, I'm looking at that saying, okay, fine, maybe I don't even want to go to the stadium, but I might have a kid that, to Mayor Bowser's point about this gym that's going up, that might get into gymnastics or might get into track or whatever the stuff may be that they're going to be able to do at this gym that they weren't able to do before. So I think it's going to be a really good thing for DC, and that's not even including the stadium, really.
So the thing that nobody wants to hear, and I always find myself, Tobes, on a lot of issues like this one. Not there's a ton of stadium issues, but I always find myself arguing against everybody, you know, every side of an individual issue. And the biggest reason I think that is because I always try to deal, and I'm not trying to make myself sound like some sophisticated, but I always try to deal in nuance and detail. So what that means is everybody likes to have a one-line argument or like a summary of something. And I'm always going, well, there's another point to be made there, et cetera. So Charles Allen, who, again, it feels like I'm picking on him. I'm not. He comes on the show and he's answered questions. He actually made some really good points. Whether people want to agree with him or not, there should be an acknowledgement. So I guess here's where I'm going with this part. Again, I agree with people who are extremists in the other direction. But one of the points that he made was D.C.'s got free land. And, you know, in this deal is a suite at the 30-yard line for the council and the mayor forever. Why is that? Why do we have to do that? Is that a good use of taxpayer money? The team is getting charged $1 in rent. If you had a regular condo building, you could charge them millions of dollars in rent over the per year, over the life of a deal or whatever. So my point is, there are good points that everybody can kind of make here. But at the end of the day, what we're actually talking about is something that's on the table right now that might not be perfect. It'll never satisfy 100% of the people. 55% want something. Does that mean it's right? I don't know. Simply offering that as a data point where he said, talking about Charles Allen, that, yeah, if you offer people something for free, they'll take it. Well, this is not free. And it's explicitly stated right there. And even with our recoil at the idea of, quote, unquote, helping billionaires, which I understand and I feel that way, actually, by the way, I you know, if I wasn't running a football team, if I owned Danny's Widgets and I happened to be a billionaire, I wouldn't expect those kind of tax breaks, those kind of $1 a year for rent or whatever the hell for 28 years, or being able to keep every dollar raised for parking, even for events that aren't mine. I wouldn't expect those sorts of things, but because it's football and we've got such devoted fans of it, exceptions are made. So to me, there are trade-offs. And I think here it sounds like for a lot of the citizens of D.C., the juice is absolutely worth the squeeze.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be plenty of people that aren't in favor of it. I think Barry Sferluga wrote a good piece about it in the Washington Post saying that Grant from Virginia and JP from Maryland work, you know, wanted the stadium but weren't going to pay for it, right? Like, but I think when you look at it, if the majority of people that they're the ones going to have to pay the money, because this is sometimes an issue where some people want to speak in other people's behalf. Well, let the people that are going to actually have to pay it speak. Like, with all due respect to Virginia and Maryland residents, when they speak about these, they can have their opinions, right? But it's the D.C. residents that have to pay. And so if they're in favor of it, you know, maybe you'd like to see a larger number. Maybe you'd like to see it over 60%. But 55% is a reasonable enough number that it sounds like people are in favor. And if that's the case, then I just don't see what the holdup would be then.
Yeah. I mean, this to me, the benefits for the people that are completely anti, they're obvious. This is Mayor Bowser called it a catalyst or a catalytic event or catalytic structure. It is more of an investment than it is a kind of direct bit of construction. The idea is it's the genesis of something over there that has gone from a blight and an eyesore that needs work to something useful, something that could generate for perpetuity. I mean, the key to, anybody will tell you, for regular people who don't win the lottery, the key to wealth building for most folks is you own stuff that then pays you, right? And for the rest of us that are working paycheck to paycheck, and it's really, really hard, if you can find something that generates money for you passively, that's how you really change your life. That's kind of what we're talking about here for DC, is you build something, in theory, if it's a good deal. I mean, I haven't examined all the nitty-gritty. Smarter people than me have done that. But the idea would be it pays you back, right? Will this pay you back? The regular old suburban football stadium don't pay you back. It doesn't. This could. We don't have as many samples of this kind of data point where you've got what Capital One Arena is now trying to become, right? Where the whole city block and everything on campus, and it's a one-stop shop, and it's this and it's that. You can't have the same number of nights, but is it enough where people will go by? I mean, I guess this is kind of my last point on this before we go to the call topic. In order for a football stadium to be successful, not the actual stadium itself, but the area around it, has to be somewhere where you and I are going, hey, I got an hour for lunch. Let's go over there because there's a restaurant there that we like.
Absolutely.
I'm never doing that to where Nubs Field is.
Correct.
No one from Fairfax, McLean, Bethesda, College Park, Hyattsville, no one even close by is going, let's go to that place over by FedEx Field to grab up whatever. That's never going to happen. That's why that area couldn't support the team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to if you get off early on a Friday for Nats Park, right? You're going to go over and hit one of the bars around there in Half Street. Like, I think that's perfect. And, you know, real quick, I think the mayor's best point on this, when she was on with you guys, was talking about how Charles Allen, I believe, had mentioned NoMa, right? And how they'd spent money there and improved some areas and added some things, and people were going over there. Mm-hmm. And her point was, we're going to have to spend money regardless to get people to go over to that area. Why not spend it around a stadium that's going to be more attractive than building another park or building something that's going to have more people from Virginia and Maryland wanting to come to this area? Yeah. So I think when you look at that stadium going there, along with everything around it, if the residents are willing to chip in, which it sounds like a majority are, then I think that gets rid of one of the major oppositions to what they want to do there.
I think it does. That's Toby. I'm Danny. This is Grant Danny here on The Fan, live from Penn Quarter at City Tap House, Penn Quarter. Trevor Sickleman is incredible hair. Will join us at 5 p.m. Had a couple reactions to Washington Post draft. Bullish on a couple items. We'll ask him about those things. Also, want to take your calls on this next, though. 800-636-1067. We might be able to come back to this in a little bit as well. Now that this data point has been revealed that the majority of citizens want it, okay, talking about spending the public money that's on the table, what's your closing argument here? What would you say to someone that doesn't think as you do, either in favor of or opposing the stadium? This was one of the data points, I think, or one of the rebuttals that Charles Allen had, and I think now you've got some data that says, well, actually, they are willing to pony up the dough, right? And that's kind of what this polling is telling us. What is your final argument? What is your closing argument to try to convince the judge and the jury that you're in the right here when it comes to the stadium? 800-636-1067. You can be for, you can be against, whatever you want. Just sort of use this as a jump-off point. Give me your closing arguments about a stadium in D.C. next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We got plenty more Capitals discussion in advance of Game 2 tonight. We are live at City Tap House in Penn Quarter. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. GP is out with the streppies. Toby is in. He was deprived of a cookie skillet by Ryan Selfishness. Ryan and he made a plan to share food. It's a pre-share. It wasn't an audible share. It was a pre-share situation. And Ryan and Toby agreed to share a margarita pizza and a cookie skillet, and then Ryan said, no, I'm going to get the cookie skillet by myself. And the update is Toby was about to order a cookie skillet. He didn't. I ordered a poke bowl and some water, and then Toby goes, I'd like a poke bowl and some water. I don't want to say that he copied me.
But I copied you.
But you copied me a little bit.
100%.
Why'd you do that?
I needed audible last second. Cookie skillet sounded incredible, I needed some actual food. I didn't want to have to spend some money in Cap 1 tonight.
I see.
So I was like, let me enjoy a nice poke bowl.
It is fantastic. I'm telling you, everything, all the food here is good. We've been here how many times now, Ryan? God, what is it? 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 times? I've eaten nearly 80% of the menu. Everything is good here at City Tap House Penn Court. This is a great spot to come pregame, great spot to hang out. There's a business luncheon, a big group here that's just assembled, getting out of the rain. They're pummeling sliders, all sorts of delicious food stuffs, all the beers you could want. This place is an awesome spot to come hang out before the Caps. I got plenty more Caps discussion coming up in the show. Speaking of coming up, 5 o'clock, Trevor Sikkema will join us to break down what he thinks of the Washington Post draft and how their roster improved and their chances heading into next season. But I asked you guys this, and you know, we don't have a ton of time to explore it here, Toes, but I want your pitch as well. What's your closing argument? What's your closing argument when it comes to the stadium? And here's why. The Washington Post had an article that basically said the overwhelming majority, 55% of current D.C. residents favor using public funds to help with the stadium. And again, it's not just they're not paying for like entrances and Section 406. They're talking about $50 million to build up around it, everything that goes with the stadium in this current deal. 55% of D.C. residents are in favor of that. That was one of the hangups where, you know, some folks that were opposed were saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe are we so sure about this? Everyone would like all these toys, but do you want to pay for them? City is saying yes. So what's your closing argument? It sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you're in favor in general of the deal and spending the money. What's your closer for someone that might not be?
Yeah, I've got three things. Number one, I just don't see that there's going to be a better deal. Now, maybe they can make some improvements to this deal, but when you look at the number that the Commanders and the Josh Harris ownership group is putting up, it's unprecedented, the number in which they are giving to this project. And yes, you're still going to have to get some public funding, but a lot of that is getting spent around there. So that's number one. I don't know that you're going to get a much better deal without maybe just making some minor tweaks to this one. Number two, that area has had nothing around it for a long, long time. I know there's some stuff around there that people still go to, the fields at RFK and different stuff, but you know, they've had time. Like, all these grand ideas that get thrown around of what they should do to the stadium, and why hasn't that been done in the amount of time since? I mean, I remember going to a Nationals game there when that would have been, what, 2005 to 2007 when they played there? So I went to a Nats game sometime during that time frame, but since then, there haven't been a lot of things going on over there. So why hasn't anything been done? I mean, the stadium hasn't even been torn down, right? Like, so all these grand ideas that people have over there, people telling you, this is why I shouldn't go there, we're going to do this, then why hasn't that been done? And then third, I think, like the mayor pointed out, I think it's the best point that she's made, is some money is going to get spent if you want to go have something over there, regardless of if it's a stadium or not. If you want to turn it into a lot of public parks or whatever it may be, public money and money from D.C. is going to have to be spent to revitalize that area. Why not do it around something as big as a stadium that is going to draw even more people in? So I think those would be my three points.
So my, and again, I always talk about this, I find myself arguing against everybody, but my biggest takeaway ultimately is this. This sounds very cynical. If I really believed that any of these highfalutin plans, if any of these, you know, big words that we use in sociology classes, things and projects and pie in the sky deals were actually going to happen, I might be on your team if your team opposed. Okay. I have lived here in and around the city the majority of my life. I've spent more years living as a D.C. resident than anywhere else in the world. Born and raised in Northern Virginia, went to kindergarten through college in D.C., then lived in the city limits for whatever it is, like 21 or 22 years. 23, 20, whatever the number is. Point is, a long time. I have seen and paid attention to the promises. They're always the same. Go by Nats Park in the Navy Yard. What were we told was going to happen down there? Affordable housing. Housing's never been less affordable. There are never enough units. It's not close. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. It's all the different Stephen A. Smith words. Okay? All the different things that everybody says they would like to do, they don't do. You know why? Because the revenue that those big-ass, beautiful condo buildings where they charge $4,500 a month, the things that those bring in, that's better than anything else for a politician so they could do whatever project they want. That's the deal. So, if I really believe this utopia would just happen, then I might be on your team. I think this is the best you're going to get. And that's not always a great reason to spend $850 million. But I don't think it gets much better. And ultimately, as a rooting interest thing, I would like it to be there. So I know that's maybe not the most compelling argument, but that's where I'm at to how I sort of weigh in.
To your point, David Aldridge was on with B. Mitch and Finley, I think last week or something, had a really good point about that, where he's in favor. He sounds like kind of where you're at. But he says, they can lay out all these things. They have to happen. And I think that's a big part of this, is you lay out the plan, you have to stick to that plan. You need to be held accountable that this is what's going here, not something else. This needs to be going here, not something else. So I think that's a big part of it. What you're saying is, but lay out the plan, great, and all this stuff sounds great, but actually do that plan, not something else.
We'll be joined in about 6 minutes by Trevor Sikkema. Broke down what he thinks about the Washington 53, their chances, improvements that were made, different roster additions, holes, everything under the sun. We will talk to him, and we'll talk in the next hour about who's got to be great for Washington to turn this series around, for the Capitals, that is, in game number two. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan, City Tap House, Penn Quarter. Come by pregame and see us.